Never can tell what's going to be going on in the world or in any time, but we'll get moving. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We are going to be in the great chapter of Matthew 13 and the great chapter of Matthew 14. And if you would like a Bible, we are also going to be in a few other places in the Bible and also on the screen. It might be Bible heavy today. We'll see. Yay. Well, might depend. My goal this morning is to encourage you and exhort you and just one note I should say here before we start is that there's a little pamphlet by K.P. Yohanan called Living by Faith. And that is basically a lot of the thoughts that I'm going to share here. It came from there. So I thought I'd give K.P. the honor he's due here. And then... And then pray. So let's pray. Father, I come before you. We come before you. And it is amazing to sing truths. And we sing them, Lord, because we believe them. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would come and touch our hearts. God, inspire us. Send your Holy Spirit into us. Bring us more into your plan and your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, it is very cool to see you this morning. And I want to remind you of things you already know. One of them is, did you know you can raise your children according to Bible principles and not see any fruit in their behavior and attitudes? Did you know you can memorize the Bible and not see any winning in the battles of your life? You can know the Bible and be able to articulate the doctrines in the Bible, but it may not result in an improved life or ministry or family. Now let me prove it to you. Turn to Matthew 13. When we were walking through Matthew 13, I jumped to Matthew 14 without doing this little section at the end. And I thought, I need to go back and read this section. Well, here we are. Matthew 13. Now, Matthew 13 and 14 in this Bible is well worn. It has been used in the last few weeks. Okay. Verse 53. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue. So they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household." And here's the verse. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. What? If you had asked me, "Brandon, would you like to live in Jesus' hometown when you grew up?" I would have said, sign me up. Brandon, would you like to be a second generation Christian and be really familiar with the things of Jesus? I think every first generation Christian would say, sign me up. But here's the danger. Is the people in his hometown were also full of unbelief. The familiarity fostered unbelief. And there are many verses like this in the Bible. Hebrews 4:2 says, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. The word didn't profit them because it was not mixed with faith in those who heard it. So it's like chemistry. If you have hydrogen and oxygen and heat, you produce water. Not water is not hydrogen, it is not oxygen, it's a whole different thing. It is water. Here's another chemistry example. Hearing and knowing plus faith produces. See, you can have needs in your life, and you can have promises from God, but unless they are mixed with faith, they don't produce fruit. You will not see fruit. You will not see the Lord do amazing things. And all things are possible for him who believes. Now, flip over from Matthew 13 to Matthew 14. Look at verse 34. And when they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. Wow! Gennesaret's just a town around the lake that Jesus walked around a lot, sailed over a lot, just a town. And somehow, they just all decided that they needed to touch Jesus' robe to be healed. How did they decide that? Well, I think the story of the Syrophoenician woman got out, that she was the one who kind of went up and touched his robe, and then she was healed, and then Jesus stopped and talked to her and blessed her. And that got out, and then people believed, if I touch the robe just like the Syrophoenician woman did, I'll be healed. Pretty amazing. Here's the question. Which group of people would you like to be? The hometown Jesus people? Or the I just need to touch his robe people? Which one do you want to be? And I think for me, I go, oh, I want to be the touch his robe people. Sign me up. That's what I want, because I want to see the Lord do amazing things. But then I think about, which group am I in? And I can be pretty logical, pretty calculated. You know, I can kind of like to succeed, because if I succeed, then I feel good about myself, that I can fix my problems, I can handle, I'm competent, I'm strong. And so sometimes I like to seek wisdom and I like to seek counsel, and I do that so that I can make my decision and I can fix life problems. Except when I think about it and I think about myself fixing my problems, I think about that I'm not all that good at fixing my problems. It doesn't really work for me or for you. And the reason it doesn't work is because without faith, it is impossible to please God. God works by faith. And so we read our Bible and we memorize our verses and we read our books. But unless it's connected with faith, it's not worth anything. The Bible can't save you. It can't set you free from sickness. It can't set you free from demon possession. The Bible can't improve your life financially. It can't make you a better person. Knowing the Scripture didn't help the Pharisees. It doesn't help Satan. The Israelites were on the border of the Promised Land. God had set them free from Egypt. They had traveled through the desert. They're right there on the border of the Promised Land. And let's read Hebrews 4:2. Little help. Oh, now I'm messing it up. No, there we go. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, the people in the Promised Land, about to go in. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. That's what it's saying. They knew the word. They knew the promises. But they died in the wilderness. Did they die because they didn't know what God wanted? They did. But they didn't mix it with faith. God had promised. They didn't believe it. So they didn't see the Promised Land. God promised, but they didn't see it. They couldn't enter because of their unbelief. I just think about all the wonderful promises of God all over the place. And are there promises of God that you and I don't experience because though God's promised it, we don't add in faith? The Israelites go into the Promised Land. They saw giants. They saw difficulties. 10 spies said, "We can't do it." And they were right. They couldn't do it. And the 2 spies, who Joshua and Caleb, who said they could do it, they didn't say that it was possible. They agreed, "We can't do it." Here's what they said. "If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey." Through faith, Joshua and Caleb knew that God was able. And that makes all the difference. Faith, desert's end, is what makes the difference today. It is amazing to see beautiful, childlike faith. And faith is not logical. You can't figure it all out. It is beyond sight. By definition, it's beyond sight. So faith gives us the victory, but it's beyond sight. It is sees things that are unseen. Well, this brings us to the definition of faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And I make a couple points here. A couple thoughts. So, does anyone know a different version that says now faith is the, another word for assurance? The substance. I was counting on this side of the room. The substance of things hoped for. The substance. Faith is called a substance. A substance is something you make something else out of. It is the like the building blocks of it. So the Greek word there, regardless of what translation you use, it means that which stands under is the definition of the word. It's like the basis of something, something that supports something else. Hebrews says that Jesus became the substance of God. So we have the God the Father, he's invisible, you can't see him. And Jesus became substance of God who is invisible. We can kind of understand that. Well, this blows my mind. Because when I think of Jesus became a substance, I can see Jesus, right? He became something physical. I can touch him. But we see here through the same word that faith is a substance. Well, how does that work? Just like Jesus is the substance of God who is invisible, faith is the substance of those things we hope for that are invisible. Kind of an interesting way to think about faith. I don't know if we think about faith that way. But the verse goes on, it calls faith evidence. Evidence of things not seen. So in a courtroom, there's evidence that shows, hey, this man is guilty or this man is innocent. There's evidence determines the outcome of the faith. Or the case. Faith determines, evidence determines the outcome of the case. Therefore, for us, your faith is evidence determining the outcome of what you're believing for. It is the evidence that the invisible thing is true. Wow. Hebrews calls faith evidence and substance. Kind of hard to understand. And faith deals with what we can't see. That's kind of the third point here about faith. It's a substance, it's evidence, it deals with what we can't see, and obviously that's kind of obvious. But our five senses will never explain faith. It'll never figure out faith. The five senses won't put faith into practice. Faith doesn't deal with what I can see and what I can touch. Let me give you an example. Here's a verse. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. How can I, with my five senses, figure that out? I just believe and I'm saved? It's outside my logic. It's outside my senses. My senses only relate to the visible world. So, I don't know about you. This is common experience. I became a believer. I became a believer when I was old enough to remember. So, I was in a parking lot, and I became a believer. And you know, and if you ask me if I felt different, I say, no. I felt like Brandon in a parking lot, very tired. And I felt like Brandon in a parking lot, very tired. On both sides, on either sides of coming to Christ. Well, why didn't I feel anything? Because my five senses don't deal in the physical. But my faith deals in the invisible. Invisible things were happening. Spiritual things were happening that I could not sense with my senses. I became a new person, but I didn't know it with my senses. Faith takes us beyond the visible to the invisible, to the reality to which everything was formed. So it's kind of an interesting question. So we have Hebrews 11:1 is awesome. Definition of faith. Hebrews 11:6 is awesome. We memorize that. That has everything to do with faith. And my kids have memorized those two verses. Here's an interesting question. What is between Hebrews 11:1 and Hebrews 11:6? Well, the answer, silly answer, Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. What is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Everything that was made out of something invisible. The Word of God. I'm starting to see substance. Faith being a substance. But faith here connects to the Word of God. And we need to connect our faith to the Word of God. Here's Isaiah 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It, meaning my word, shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God is good and faithful. What he says in his word will happen. Faith in your life is not denying the problems. It is not saying that the cities aren't fortified, that you are sick, or the saying you're not sick, or saying you're not out of money. Faith is seeing the problems, but using faith eyes to see the solution. Faith sees God for who he is. Faith sees God's ability. Faith sees God's promises and believes on him in the midst of difficulty. So we look beyond the problems to him who is invisible. Okay, so if we want to walk in faith, we want to walk in faith. We want to be Gennesaret people. I just want to touch his robe. Just want to believe. Just want to touch his robe. Okay, going to give you a verse. We're going to believe it. Okay? I'm not, no tricks. These are just Bible verses. They're not hard ones. They're just clear ones. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Okay, find it. Find touches robe faith for that verse. When you look at the future of your life, when you look at the future, don't be the logical. The logical, we grew up with this guy, how can this be? I've seen bad things happen to other people. Here's one. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. How about this one? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household. You know what's common in these verses? It's calling us to believe first and to see second. To believe first and to see second. Some of us need to stop trying to see first. Let's see. All right, I can keep going. All right, did I put these verses on? Yeah, I did. These verses are interesting. So Jesus shows up. Lazarus has died. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Well, gosh, that's faith. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Martha was focused on natural facts, which would be completely normal to think. But Jesus wants her to go way beyond the natural facts. That's what he wants for Martha here. And he basically tells her, don't look at the facts. Only believe. Believe first. Then you will see. And you go, really, Jesus? Really? Like, not look at the facts? Believe first? This is really hard. Is this consistent with what you said other places? Yeah. It is. Jesus said this. He said, hey, if you have a mustard seed of faith, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Does Jesus not say things like nothing will be impossible for you? Not all the time. All the time. And then I go, oh, Jesus, but believing is so hard. I cry out like that, and the next cry that can come out is, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And you know the story? You know the story? You got your Bibles? Just turn to Mark 9. Let's read this story. Mark 9. Mark 9, Matthew, Mark. The next book, Matthew, Mark. Verse, chapter 9. Page 793, if you have your Bibles, verse 14. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked him, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you?" Really? Because they couldn't do a miracle? Those feel like strong words. "Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe! Help my unbelief. And then the rest of the story is Jesus heals him. Okay. There he is again. All things are possible for you. And Jesus, when you look about how Jesus talked about prayer, I get the sense, whenever he talks about the prayer, over and over and over again, he says, whatever you pray for, you'll get. And you go, wow, why do you say this over and over and over again when it's clear you're the one who's sovereign? That you say yes or no? That it's clear that everything I have prayed for hasn't necessarily come to pass. Why do you keep saying this? Over and over and over again. Anybody wrestle with that? I know some Christians that don't even like those verses. Could it be to inspire us to faith? To help us think beyond the seen, beyond the logical, beyond? Could it be to inspire our big prayers? I don't know. I am not going to pretend to know the mind of Jesus. But he gives us something in his word, right? That not a dot or a tittle is out of place. But at the very least, I come to the place where I believe that our interaction with God, our prayers with God, that our faith is a very important part of our interaction. It's a very important part of what is happening. And that when I pray, believing something before it happens, or asking myself if I believe it and saying, Lord, help my unbelief if I don't. Like, the faith is part of this chemistry that is happening. Ooh, where should we go now? I'm going to do this. Okay. So, this was the challenge, this was the motivation, this was the encouragement to just believe the things that we believe, but believe them really to be true and to walk in the fact that they're true. And one of the things we need to believe is that everything God said is true. And most of the time, when struggles and problems come into our life, it's because there's really basic things that Jesus said in his word that we say we believe, but how much we're really believing, I'm not sure. So I wanted to walk through just verses. Verse after verse after verse. And I want you to read them with fresh eyes of faith. I want us to read them with eyes with, I just need to touch his robe. Oh, I reach out and believe this verse. And I want you to notice the strength that brings you when you believe it. The encouragement it brings you when you believe it. I want us to be drawn into God as we just walk through his word and believe freshly the things he says. And so this is like a workshop. This is not a teaching, this is just a workshop. We're just going to read these verses and we'll workshop our own heart. I'm not going to talk much. We'll just read together. So that's the, see how many of those we get, how many of these we get to. And by the way, She's not here. She must be teaching Sunday school. Kat put in 14 zillion verses for me because she's awesome. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Can you connect again in your heart by faith that you believe that he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly? That God really loves people that give cheerfully, is deeply loved and delighted by people who love to give? I want to touch his robe. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're getting an inheritance. Touch it. Do you ever dream about it? You ever think about it? What are you going to inherit? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Okay, here we are. What is, here's physical, logical evidence in your face from the world, from your own sin, that you're not new. Are you going to believe the seen or the unseen? The unseen. You're new. That's what the word says. Touch the robe and be new this morning. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I don't know how you felt when you woke up, but this is true. You wake up. Can you touch that robe? And if you touch that robe, are you different? Because I'm different all the way down to my identity when I know that his mercies never come to an end for me. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Can you touch it? What does it do for you when you touch it? That God has something prepared for me? And not only that, he prepared me for the something? Don't let go of these things if you once believed them. And then life becomes, I don't know, life. I stand a little taller when I believe that. for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My Lord and my God. Romans 8:33. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? I don't know about you. And I look up and I look at my own sin. I look at my own rebellion. I look at my struggles to seek God. The devil reminds me of sins in my past. I struggle with the coldness of my heart, and I can think, like you might be able to think, that this can't be God's heart. This cannot be God's heart. Or if I only touch his robe, if I only read this verse and mix it with faith and touch it and have it be true, this is God's heart for me. And when I believe it, you know what I do? It makes me want to pray. It makes me want to pray for power against all those enemies of my own soul. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. You feel like you're going up in your Christian life? Or do you feel like you're going down? You'll feel both, I think, and still be in the Christian life. But whether you're feeling like you're going up or down or sideways, can you stand on that? Because that will not cease to be true. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. That God cares for me. I don't want to throw my hands in the air, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Who here is adopted as a child of God? Raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. How many of you guys have memorized this verse? A number of us have memorized this verse. I'll tell you what happens in the Christian life. We memorize this verse and we believe it for a while. And then we decide that maybe it's not as true as I originally thought it was. With this verse, which city do you want to live in? Nazareth or Gennesaret? We will not experience the truth of this verse if we don't believe this verse. We believe first, then we see. And some of you are here like, I see, I could preach, I'd stand up and give a testimony. I know. But that's not everybody here. We're old Christians. We're familiar. We're familiar with these things. And let us be refreshed. Can I read that part again? He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. You believe that? In your soul, do you believe that? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. If you believe this, would something change? Don't try to change until you believe this. Believe this. And then let it impact your life. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This one we could give testimonies for. We've walked through hard stuff. And people could stand up here in a whole line. We could do practically this whole church. I've seen God do this with me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The person of Jesus will give you rest. What a promise. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Look at it with eyes of faith. With eyes of faith. Believe that. Let it grant you perseverance. Oh, this is one of those. Isn't it? It's one of those. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. There's a promise. Sometimes when we're really low, just take one promise and grab the one. This is a good one. And I don't know where you are, high or low. That'll save your life right there. And He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. I love this. God put me right here. By His choice, put me right here. There's a generation that God said, this is the generation I want to live. When America's a little topsy-turvy, and we're going to put them right here. There's a generation, there are people I want to fashion, and they're going to live with smartphones. I made them. I determined this time right here. This country right here. Is that too much of a leap? Or can you grab it? Can you touch the robe and say, that is true for me? We could do this for a long time. That's why I'm so sorry I started late. He's able to help those being tempted. God's Spirit dwells in you. We're going to always be with the Lord. It'll brighten your day. Heaven. Knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I like that one. This is a promise. How far does He remove our transgressions from us? Farther than I can get to. God lives to make intercessions for us. We can draw near the throne to find mercy and grace. The promises of God are a lot. I want to call us to believe anew, to believe afresh. The promises of God and the things of God, and make sure we're uniting all the things we know with this illogical, crazy part that is faith, that is a gift from God. And anyway, I hope you were encouraged. Let me just pray and close this. Father, we recognize that we cannot please You without faith. And so, Father, well it up in us. Father, make our prayers big and our conviction in Your Word and the things You've said strong. Lord, we ask You for this, and we ask it in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys.